The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
To laugh, and when the sun is out, I've got something I can laugh about. I feel good in a special way. I'm in love, and it's a sunny day. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. We take a walk. The sun is shining down, burns my feet as they touch the ground. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Then we lie beneath a shady tree. I love her and she's loving me. She feels good, she knows she's looking fine. I'm so proud to know that she is mine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please have a seat. We're going to begin. Welcome, everyone, to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Those of you who are here in person in our sanctuary, and those of you who are on Zoom, thank you for coming today. Unfortunately, it's not a sunny day, but we're going to celebrate summer anyway. We do need the rain so that our crops grow, right? Big time, we need it right now. So my name is Ann Rostosky. I'm the president of the board, and I'm one of today's worship leaders along with Tony Black. And we're gonna be celebrating summer today. So whoever you are, whoever you love, wherever you are on your spiritual quest, we welcome you here today.
I want to reassure you, I may now not sound well, but I've been declared well. This is the hangover from a thing. We stand at the edge of summer. The sun has warmed us enough that we begin to trust its presence. The last burst of spring blossoms, lavender and pink and deep purple banks of rhododendron, are giving way to summer peonies and roses. O source of the turning seasons, of earth, of life, of promise gradually becoming fulfillment, may your people find a lightening of their spirits, of their burdens, with the brightening of the sky.
One thing I forgot to mention earlier was if you're visiting for the first or second time and would like to know more about Unitarian Universalism, we do have a brochure rack in the lobby. And also, we encourage you to attend our services more than once, because they do vary a good bit from one week to the next. And particularly, try to come to one that our minister, Reverend Andrew Weber, does. Now, he won't be here again till the end of July, but it's a good thing to try to come to one of his services, too. And now I will do the chalice reading while Tony lights the chalice. We come together this morning as celebrants, as seekers and companions. We enter into this, almost the longest day, one of the longest days, joyfully, allowing ourselves the beauty of this time together, in which we may rest our cares and sorrows and allow our hearts and spirits to be uplifted. I invite you to take a deep breath. Drink in the beauty and community that surround you in this place. And as you release it, become centered here in the now. And now we will light the peace lamp. The words are on the screen here. May peace be with you. Now we will have our gathering song, Morning Has Broken. If you're using a hymnal, it's number 38. The words will appear on the screen, however.
Morning, blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. The rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Morning has broken like the first morning, blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
Well, we don't have any children today, but it is called The Moment for All Ages, and the adults like the story too. So Linda is going to share with us the story about fireflies.
Okay, that's way too tall. There we go. How's that? Okay, fireflies, stories and pictures by Julie Brinklow. And I lobbied to have this story put in the order of service. We timed the order of service to see how, you know, the service to see how long it would run. And you know, when Tony had mentioned fireflies at the last service, I started thinking about that. And it really did bring back a lot of memories from when I was a child. And I don't want to, spoiler alert, I don't want to ruin the ending, but I had one of these moments with fireflies when I was a child. On a summer evening, I looked up from dinner through the open window to the backyard. I forked the meat and corn and potatoes into my mouth. "Please, may I go out? The fireflies." Mama smiled and Daddy nodded. "Go ahead," they said. I ran from the table down to the cellar to find a jar. I knew where to look behind the stairs. And I always looked for a mason jar, and you people know that what that means, a big quart one. The jars were dusty, and I polished one clean with on my shirt. Then I ran back up two steps at a time, holes I remembered, so they can breathe, and as quietly as I could, so she wouldn't catch me dulling them, I poked holes in the top of the jar with Mama's scissors. Been there. The screen door banged behind me as I ran from the house. If someone said, "Don't slam it," I wasn't listening. I called to my friends in the street, "Fireflies!" But they had come before me with polished jars, and others were coming behind. The sky was darker now. My ears rang with crickets and my eyes stung from staring too long. I blinked hard as I watched them. Fireflies, blinking on, blinking off, dipping low, soaring high above my head, making white patterns in the dark. We ran like crazy, barefoot in the grass. Catch them," we cried, grasping at the lights. Suddenly a voice called out above the others. "I caught one," and it was my own. I thrust my hand into the jar and spread it open. The jar glowed like moonlight, and I held it in my hands. I felt a tremble of joy and shouted, "I can catch hundreds." Then we dashed about, waving our hands in the air like nets, catching 2, 10, hundreds of fireflies, thrusting them into jars, waving our hands for more. Then someone called from my house, "It's time to come in now." And others called from other houses, and it was over. My friends took jars of fireflies to different homes. In the dark, I watched the fireflies from my bed. They blinked off and on, and the jar glowed like moonlight. But it was not the same. The fireflies beat their wings against the glass and fell to the bottom and lay there. The light in the jar turned yellow, like a flashlight left on too long. I tried to swallow, but something in my throat would not go down, and the light grew dimmer green, like moonlight underwater. Then the jar began to glow green, then gold, then white I shut my eyes tight and put the pillow over my head. They were my fireflies. I caught them. They made moonlight in my jar, but the jar was nearly dark. I flung off the covers. I went to the window, opened the jar, and aimed it at the stars. Fly. Then the jar began to glow, green, then gold, then white as the moon, as the fireflies poured out into the night. Fireflies, blinking on, blinking off, dipping low, soaring high above my head, making circles around the moon like stars dancing. I held the jar dark and empty in my hands. The moonlight and fireflies swam in my tears, but I could feel myself smiling. The end.
Nice. Thanks, Linda. Your introduction kind of leads us into our next activity. We're going to have a brief meditation. So I'd like everyone to close their eyes for a moment and relax and think about this sentence. The best thing about summer is. And then if you like, you can share it with the rest of us. Just take a minute or two.
Watching fireflies.
Warm weather.
No snow and flowers. Air conditioning.
Swimming outdoors.
Garden vegetables.
Light in the evening.
All the animals you don't see during winter.
Chorus of crickets.
Catching crawfish in the creek.
Bare feet in the grass.
Phillies baseball.
Dahlia's blooming.
If anyone online would like to share, you could put a word in chat or a sentence in chat. Any takers, John? No? Okay. All right, we'll move on to our next thing. Thank you all for sharing. And Tony's going to talk to us about the fires of midsummer.
Actually, I'm sharing a reading. In her book, The Earth Wisdom, Dolores LaChapelle describes an experience that contributed to her emerging awareness of the nature and significance of the ancient seasonal festivals. I quote, "Some years ago, while climbing in Europe, we stayed at a hut in order to climb the Matterhorn. We happened to be there on the summer solstice. All the climbers in the hut went outside just at dusk and waited expectantly in the gathering twilight. Then far on a distant mountain, we saw a fire suddenly blaze up. Then our hut master lit our fire at our hut. And soon, far down the valley, another fire was lit. It was a moving ceremony there in the wilderness of snow and rock. I asked the hut master and the Swiss climbers what it meant. They said, that is what we always do at midsummer. What she observed in Switzerland was a modern survival of one of the most universal of ancient midsummer rites, and there were many."
So now we're going to celebrate in another fashion. We're going to do a dance. So if everyone could get up and go to the back. We're gonna do a dance. Believe me, the steps are fairly simple, so I don't think you'll have trouble with it. If someone would not like to dance, maybe you could sit in the center of the circle. Rick, would you like to sit in the center? That's okay. We'll put this in. It's good to have a centerpiece to keep us going in a circle. Okay, so this dance is called Four Seasons. And like I said, it's very simple. You start with two steps. You step to the left and close your right foot. Step to the left, close your right foot. Then you take your right foot and step out with your heel and back. Step out with your left heel and back. Those are the steps. So it's pretty easy. And if we want, we can do the arms too, but we don't have to.
I don't know.
We're supposed to hold hands or at least pinkies. And the arms are, we do two circles with our arms. As we step is one circle, step again is the other circle, and then we just do this and this. Okay, can we do, if you can't master the arms, don't worry about it. But the steps are kind of important because you have to keep up with everybody else with the steps. So. Do you guys want to sit in the middle? Do you guys want to sit in the middle and get the good energy that we're putting out there? No? We'll send it to you where you are. Yeah, maybe we will. If we master it well enough, we'll do a spiral dance. Those of you at home, feel free to join us if you can or if you want to. Okay, so we don't start dancing until the person on the recording start singing, okay? So there's a few verses first to get you used to the rhythm of the music. All right, should we do it one more time? We're good? Okay. Okay, good, good. Okay. We're ready, John.
breezes blow through the woods in springtime. Roots drink deep from the waking earth, and the young leaves shine in the quickening sunlight. Dance the song of the new year's birth, and the dance goes on, it's never ending. The cymbal turns and the singer sings. The air turns round with the wood in springtime. Has no thought that the winds of the wind. Of summer and the light shoots through them cool and green. Great trees stir from their dreaming sleep to sing long tales of the years they've seen. And the dance goes on, it's never ending. The singer sings in the tale unfold. The year turns round with the wood in summer. There's no feeling that the winds is cold. Hang heavy and ripe in the shortening day. Bright as a banner, the autumn leaves turn red in the old sun's flying rays. The dance goes on, it's never ending. The circle turns and returns again. The year turns round with the wood in autumn and gathers itself for the winter's spring. And the leaves are torn, and through the hawthorn cold winds run. Through the dwindling days, the cool-leaved holly keeps safe the memories of the sun. The dance goes on, it's never ending. The singer turns and the singer sings. The year turns round, but the winter wood still holds the memories of the spring.
We did say we were going to celebrate the season.
One did, yeah, it turned out really well. Now Tony and I are going to do a reading back and forth. We have come through winter.
We knew the dark and the cold and the ice.
We have come through spring.
We saw the lengthening days, the budding trees, the sprouting seeds.
We have come now to summer.
Let us rejoice in the light, the warmth, and the growing harvest.
Light is energy. It inspires and enlivens.
Flowers bloom, fruit ripens. The birds fledge their young. Our children run and splash and laugh.
We feast on sweet corn, red ripe tomatoes, melons, and berries.
Summer is here.
When it becomes too hot, We may rest a while.
Rest and reflect upon the richness of life and give thanks.
And now Tony will tell us about magic moments.
The equinoxes and the solstices, these special turns in the dance of the sun and the earth, I call magic moments. The name solstice means sun stands. The sun seen at noontime seems to stand still for several days before it begins its return, its journey back the other way. Today we're 10 days past the solstice. It was actually it was early this year, the 20th. The difference is light is just a very few moments in those 10 days, because the change is when we get close to the equinox, watch out, because it goes blah, 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 blah. Technically, it has to do with the way Earth tilts on its axis. And if angles of declination and stuff like that's important to you, there are lots of sources you can follow it. I'm not going to lecture this morning, okay? From the people point of view, the important thing is that now, in this hemisphere, the sunlight is at its greatest. Folk around the world have observed these special times, the equinoxes and the solstice, for eons, and many still do. In the European traditions, the winter solstice was subsumed into the Christmas and New Year's festivals. Similarly, observances of the summer solstice were appropriated to the Feast of St. John or Midsummers. They're not nearly as dominant in our culture today as the Christmas and Hanukkah and all those festivals are for the winter solstice. Now, the name Midsummer often makes me pause. June 20th, 21, Midsummers. I think of June as when summer begins, not when it's at its midpoint, because I know for a fact we've got a lot of hot weather ahead of us. We're only just beginning. Now, in our latitudes, this festival comes when the crops are established, but most still have a lot of growing to do. And many of the ancient rituals, the ones we read about and in some places are still followed, they're meant to help the crops along. It's things like young people jumping a bonfire or amorous encounters in the fields. Those are supposed to assure a good harvest. As it gets warmer, it's water that the crops need. At the summer solstice, some folks will make a garland of flowers and throw them into a nearby stream and let them float off as a gift to the water spirits to encourage the water to come for the crops. I could do it today, you could too. Find some flowers and throw it in flowing water. Water that's drawn at midsummer is alleged to be especially good medicine, and it may be collected and saved and used through all the year for that. Now, these days, we look at our watch or at our phone to find out what the time is, and at the calendar to find out the season, instead of looking at the sky. We've lost our close ties to the season of the crops, but we are moved by the seasonal light cycles and are energized by the brightness of these days. I know I get so much more done and don't need to sleep nearly as early as I do on a damp and dark winter day. Now, Richard Heinberg, who's written Celebrating the Solstice, an important book to many of us, notes that in the US today, we no longer have most of the summer solstice observances, unlike the winter ones carried over in holiday stuff. So it takes a special effort like the one we make today, gathering, saluting summer, and dancing, singing too, to keep the festival alive for us. Heinberg says the winter solstice a symbol of death and rebirth. It's an occasion of hope. The summer solstice, in contrast, is fulfillment tinged with sadness. It is a time of abundance, of warmth and fertility. Nature is at our peak. And yet, from this moment on till midwinter, light will grow less and darkness increase. At winter solstice, we pray for return of order and light. At summer solstice, we celebrate and give thanks for their abundance. And we can abandon ourselves to play. I echo Heinberg's call. So let us rejoice, for we are alive and life is good. However you choose to celebrate, may all your solstices be times of renewal. We have a video, I believe. Stonehenge at solstice. John?
Light up the solstice, fills the night, and fills our hearts with song. We raise our voices to the sky, light up the summer sun. Light up the solstice, fills the summer's dance has just begun. In our hearts we are connected. Heaven and earth are one. Light of the solstice fills the night and fills our hearts with song.
everybody can hear me. We've come to that time of our service called Matters of the Heart, opportunity for you to share a joy that's lifting you up or a sorrow that is weighing you down with our faith community. We're going to have a short musical interlude from an earlier year's solstice at Stonehenge while you gather your thoughts. And then we'll begin, those here in the sanctuary, if you would go up to the microphone at the front one at a time and state your name and your joy or your sorrow. And those online, if you would use the virtual raise hand feature, which you can find at the bottom of your screen under reactions. And we will get you lined up to share a joy or a sorrow shortly. We'll have this brief musical interlude, and then we will open things up for Matters of the Heart. We will bring this time of sharing to a close. We're going to sing Spirit of Life here in a second. The lyrics will show up briefly, and then a short video of group choir singing Spirit of Life.
We're going to have another brief meditation. So close your eyes and relax again. This time we're going to ponder, in summer I. So just take a moment to think about that. And then if you'd like, you can share what you're thinking.
I smile when I see a firefly.
Love our garden.
I share the abundance that comes to me. Let go of what no longer serves me.
Is there anyone online that would like to share? Just put it in chat if you do. Okay, now Tony will share closing words.
This is not our doing. We did not make this world with its light and warmth, breezes, plants for sustaining food, colorful flowers to delight the eye, and all the rest. It is a gift. I share this from Van Ogden Voigt. Let us rejoice in the manifold richness of life about us and within us. Within us as understanding and choice, about us as a fair and bountiful nature, and the work of generous souls. We rejoice in the abundant life. Blessed be. Let us join in song, hymn number 21, For the Beauty of the Earth. We will extinguish our chalice, but not its light, that I will ask each and every one of you to take out into the world and share it with those who need it. Thank you for being here today. Peace doesn't want to stop.
Peace is persistent.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh.
Well, it's the longest day, right? The longest chalice. Okay, now I will share this week's announcements with you.